Please stand. Going in the reading of the liturgy found in your bulletin. Is that better? Is it on? We have come this day, O Lord, trying to bring all of life before you.
We bring to you our peace and our troubles, our joy and our sorrow, our understanding and our questions, our happiness and our unhappiness, our strength and our weakness.
We come seeking rest from the people and things which push and pull at our lives.
We come to hear your voice in the depths of our being. Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Enable us, we pray, to live our lives with joy and direction.
We know that you are able to do far more abundantly than we ever ask for a thing, by your power at work within us.
We come to you for many reasons, Lord.
Let us see.
if we confess our sins, you are faithful and will forgive, cleansing us from all evil and making us whole. We draw near to you in prayer, O Lord, in full assurance of faith and confess our sins.
O God, our Father, we sadly admit that often we are unfaithful and unthankful children. We turn from that path you allot us. Often we have closed our eyes to your creation, which lives around us, and have forgotten the life-giving power which you provide. Many times we have ignored the cries for help from the world we share with you, often being silent when we should have shared your love.
Help us, O Lord, to know your presence in all circumstances in life.
Open our eyes to see your word in the world around us. Open our ears to hear the people who need you. Open our hearts to feel their hurt. Open our mouths to proclaim your praise. Open our whole lives so that we may be demonstrations of your love and healing power.
Accept our confession for the sins and errors we make each day.
Create in us a new joyful spirit. Lift us up in the wonder of your grace, your love, and your children in Christ.
Thus says the Lord, I am the one who erases your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Go and sin no more.
Thanks be to God for his love.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That we may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You may be seated as we sing our first hymn of our Love Feast Ode, Jesus, Source of My Salvation.
Thank you. sixth chapter of Matthew, verses 36 through 46, we hear the account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here, stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Beloved in the Lord, let us pray together. Most holy Lord, we bow in worship before you. Though we are not worthy to come into your presence, we are here at your invitation, for you call us your beloved children. Today and in these coming weeks, we are thinking on your incomprehensible acts of love for us, and we are awed into humility. Break our hearts of stone, O Lord, and flood us with your grace. Let us be healed in body and spirit, that we might be bearers of your light into the darkness, your healing into our neighbor's hurt, and your peace and order into the world's chaos. For you are our rock, our protector, and our enabling force. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now we return to the ode with the next hymn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
to partake of our love.
Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts we so love thee. Bless our dear ones everywhere, and keep them in thy loving care. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
we're so grateful. I'm going to give you a brief bio on him and some of his accomplishments. He was born and raised in Forsyth County. He graduated from North Forsyth High School, went on to get his Bachelor of Art in Sociology at High Point University. And then he moved on to get his Master's degree at Piedmont International University. He is currently working on his PhD. That's a mouthful. He also, in 1984, became a police officer for the Winston-Salem Department. And he moved on in 1987 to become an arson investigator for the fire department of Winston-Salem. And while doing that, he also was associate fire marshal, I'll get it right in a minute. That was not enough, so he went on to work with high-risk offenders with the department, North Carolina Department of Prohibition and Parole. Being the kind of person that he is, that was not enough either. He had 40 years of service without law enforcement. How fortunate we are to have a man of his caliber. He also was professionally and personally full of passion for our community. He established the Brand of Knowledge, which is a program for people who need encouragement to meet their full potential. Then he founded the Star of Hope Scholarship Foundation with the Winston-Salem Foundation for people who have been students predominantly, victims of serious crime. He also worked with the Department of Justice from 1995 to 2016 as a special agent for the Drug Enhancement Program. How he has time to do all of that, I'm not sure. But that too was not enough. He is, like I said, he's working on his PhD. He has raised 7 boys because he was a single parent. And his greatest accomplishment for him, in his mind, is that he has raised 7 boys, very responsible, very respectful young men. In his spare time, whatever that is, he likes to fly, he likes to read, and he likes to spend time with his 7 boys. As you know, in 2018, he became sheriff of Forsyth County and holds that position today. Praise God for people like him who look after our law enforcement. We are privileged that he has carved out enough time come to us today to bring our message. We cannot thank you enough.
First of all, I want to thank you all for inviting me, Ms. Brown. I want to thank you. You asked the question, how did I take time to do that? It was God's blessing. It was people praying. Every day I get a chance to stand in the presence of God's people, and I thank him for that. I'd be remiss if I didn't give him thanks for my life, all that he's doing in my life, how he's blessed me and my family, and I'm grateful for what God has done in my life. I want to thank you for the congregation for being here today. I was asking myself, as I was talking to his co-worker, who was his executive assistant, he was talking about prayer and praise, and I said to myself, I'm familiar with that because it was prayer and praise that got me through some midnights in my life, which took me to the scripture of Acts 16:25. And I can just lay a foundation of Acts 16:25 where it talks about Paul and Silas moving throughout the area of Macedonia. He had a dream and he was told to go to Macedonia. And while he was in Macedonia, he was moving about the time. And there came upon a slave girl who the scripture said was filled with revelation. She had had the power of clairvoyance. She made money for her own by doing that. And I started thinking about it, the power of prayer. And Paul and Silas got irritated because every time they passed another way, she said, these men are filled with the Holy Spirit and they serve the high God. And so on one particular day, Paul said, I command thee to come out of her in the name of Jesus. And at that moment, the lady was left without the spirit of revelation. And the owner of the slave girl became aggravated with that. And they sent Paul and Silas before the magistrate. They beat them. And then they placed them in what they called the innermost part of the jail. And this is the part of the scripture that I have been fascinated with. And it said, at midnight. And I started thinking about it. Why did it say at midnight? Because the truth of the matter, it could have said at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. It said at midnight. Then I started thinking about it from an analytical standpoint, an education standpoint. And I said, there were 24 different times on the earth. Why did it say at midnight? And I started thinking, what is the common denominator between midnight and the 24 different time zone? And the common denominator is that midnight is the end and the beginning of the new day. And I started thinking to myself, and at midnight. So I looked at midnight as a metaphor, as a dark place, a place in your life where you're struggling with something. I don't know about you all, but I've been in dark places in my life. I've been in some places where I didn't know how I was going to make things do. I've been in some places where I was praying for my mother before she went on home with God. I've been in some places where I struggled with praying for my girl after passing in my life. So I understand what midnight means, a dark place in your life. How do you get to the next day? What brings you to daylight? And as the scripture said, they started praying and singing praises unto the Lord. And what's amazing about that is that when we're in these places and these spaces in our lives, what do we do? The power of prayer and the power of praise will bring you through. If I can just turn it up for a minute and go off script, I started thinking about my life, how prayer and praise have brought me to this place. In 2023, I started thinking to myself all the things in life that have happened to me, people praying for me, people singing praises to me that allow me to navigate to these places. Because I haven't done nothing so great that allowed me to be here. Then I started thinking about the darkest point of my life. And if you look into your own lives and think about the darkest and the lowest point of your life, how did you get through that? Who brought you through? It was prayer, it was praise, it was grace, it was mercy. And in 2005 was the most tragic time of my life. In 2005, I had just come back from 9/11. I was a special agent with the DEA. At that time, we didn't have an air marshal unit, so they were sending agents from all over the country to ride on the planes because we had a ground stop where the towers were. And so I was one of those agents that was sent back to Quantico to learn how to get on the planes and ride. I came back to this air marshal, the Greensboro office, the Greensboro resident office, who served this whole area, the middle district. Life was great. I thought I was on top of the world. And then in 2005, that morning, that Monday morning, on the 5th, I got a phone call from my son. And he said, Dad, Mom is in the laundry room. And I said, what do you mean she's in the laundry room? He said, she's in her sleep. At the time, I was right here at the stop and go right there off of Lindsay Road. I went down the road as fast as I could, made a right and hop, and circled to the development and drove 205 Pope Mark Road within the town. I ran in the house and I found my wife laying on the floor, lifeless. I started praying. I started doing CPR. The guy had an open plan. God took her home that day. And at that point, a lot of series of events started happening in my life. And I was trying to figure out how to raise, at the time, four boys were left in the house. And I was trying to figure out how do I raise four boys on one salary. How do I raise my boys off who's and who's in the dollar money? And I got to a low point in my life where I didn't want to go anymore. I didn't want to live anymore. And my mother told me something that had stuck with me all of my life. She said, baby, when you get to that point, I want you to just pray. And so I'll never forget one night I decided I had had enough. The pressure of life had gotten too tough for me. I was about to give up. I don't know if you've ever been in a place in your life where you want to give up. I don't know if you know anybody that just gave up. I was in that place. But before I gave up, I said, I'm going to go to the cemetery on Evergreen, New Walkertown Road. And I went to the cemetery where we had a family plot. I saw my wife's name, Clementine Kimbrough. And at the time that I was in that little place, I was contemplating something ugly. I was contemplating harming her. But I said, my mother said, please pray. And so I went back home to 205 Oakmont Parkway in Kernersville, North Carolina, and I went into the same place that my wife had passed there, in the laundry room. And I started praying for strength, like Paul and Silas. I said, God, please remove this spirit that I have on me that don't want to live anymore. God, please remove some of the financial burdens that I got to make in my own absence of my life. I went into this place of prayer and praying. You know what I stopped by to tell you today? Anybody will tell you, you can't get through this life without prayer and somebody praising God for you. You cannot. You're foolish if you think that. I'm a true testament of what prayer did to you. Here's what I will tell you. At that lowest point in my life, a lot of things started happening to me. See, as a special agent of the federal government, you have to have what they call top secret clearance. Your top secret clearance is affected by credit scores. It's affected by so many things that allow you to serve as a special agent. It's affected by what they call classified documents. And if your credit score falls below a certain level, then you lose what they call your classification, your certification. 2005, 2006, I was functioning in one income of $5 in the house. I lost my home. I'm not ashamed to say that. At the time in my life, I was ashamed to stand before people and say I failed, I lost my home. But I'm going to tell you something. Prayer and praise will give you strength that you never had before. Because once you know who you serve, you know who you are, I have a purpose before people have an opinion. So when you know that you have a purpose before people have an opinion of you, and you know the power of prayer, you don't mind standing and giving testimony and talking about where God brought you from. He brought me from a low place. I had to figure out from my homeowner to renting. I had to figure out how to move my boys from country day to public school. That part didn't matter. What mattered to me was I was in a place where I was losing control. And it was prayer that brought me through. Just like Paul and Silas at midnight, they started praying. And suddenly an earthquake came. The bands were loosened. The doors of the cell opened up. And imagine this. Sometimes in life, what you're going through ain't about you. It's about to show the people what you stand for. It's about to test your faith and see, are you quoting scripture or are you living scripture? And here's what I will tell you. Just like the scripture says, when the doors were opened, the bands come up, the same man that was guarding them was about to do themselves harm. But because Paul and Silas knew who they were and knew the God that they served, they said, do yourself no harm. We are still here. And what's amazing about that is that sometimes in life, God will make your enemy your friend. God will make your enemies your footstool. God and prayer will do some amazing things. Ears have not heard, eyes have not seen the power of prayer. And just like the scripture said, what brought the guards to Christ was the crises that Paul and Silas was in. He witnessed their behavior at a midnight. And it's amazing that at a midnight, there's people watching you. Everything that you're going through, whether it's your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, you sit in the church and they say, I'm going to see how they respond to what they're going through. Because here's what I tell you. There are three kinds of people in this world. Facts. There are those going into a midnight, in it, and those coming out. But then there's a fourth kind that we're going to talk about. And I almost fell into that fourth category. Those that will make it out of the midnight. Because sometimes in life, the midnights of your life will consume you. And what determines how you come out of a midnight is the mindset that you have in that midnight. And if you're not connected to something greater than yourself, when a crisis hits you, you have nothing to cling to other than your spirituality. And if your spirituality is not in check, when you're going through that midnight, you will crumble. Because that's what happened to me almost. But it was prayer that brought me through. It was a mother praying for me. It was people that didn't know me that brought me through. Every day when I walk around in this community, I see the best of the community, and at times I see the worst of the community. And I'm amazed sometimes at how we can pray individually. But can you imagine if we broke out and praying right now and praise together, praying for the community, the miracles that could happen? Can you imagine that on Sunday at 3 o'clock we decide we're going to have a countywide prayer simultaneously? Can you imagine what would happen? Can you praise outside the walls. Can you imagine the change in this community? I stopped by to tell you today that the community, this world, needs your prayer and your praise. And I say this all the time, everywhere I go, I've been in about every religion, building, church in this county to speak. We all serve God. We all want the same thing. But at some point, there was a church fire years ago. I got to give this to you. They were taking some remnants out of the yard. Smoke had hit part of the church. And they were taking remnants out into the yard. And one of the neighborhood moms walked by and saw the church mothers taking things out into the yard of the church. And the neighborhood mom said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "We're bringing things out into the yard." And the neighborhood mom looked at her, and this is what she said: "It is a shame that the church had to catch on fire before you brought God out into the streets." What I'm trying to tell you is this: your fire is burning, and we've got to take our religion, our prayer, and our praise outside of these walls. It is a must, because our future depends on it. Our babies depend on it. Our children, our grandchildren. So here's what I want to leave you with. Because I find myself crying a lot sometimes. And I don't know if it's the older I got, at 61, I'm not as hard as I used to be. At 61, I see life in a different place. At 61, I realize that I've seen more years than I'm going to see. At 61, I know that I gotta go see somebody that I pray to every day. I know at 61 that my walk and my talk have to be aligned. I know that. And so what I'm saying to you is this, is that when we talk about prayer and praise, it's a very serious thing. And we gotta treat it accordingly. We gotta pray for one another. We gotta pray for each other. We got to pray for ourselves. Because here's what I want to tell you. If you go back to the scripture of 1625 with Paul and Silas, if they had not praised God and prayed, they still would have been in bondage in 26 and 27 in the church. But it was praise and prayer that caused the earthquake, that crushed the foundation, that freed them from bondage. What I'm trying to tell you is that you have no idea of what will happen when you start praying together. You have no idea what people will see in you. Because, and I say this, we all can quote scriptures. We can quote King Gandhi, the best of them. We can do that. The question becomes, can we live it? Can we live it? Can we live love? Can we walk love? Can we talk love? I want you all to know that I thoroughly enjoyed my visit here today. I had. But I want you to know that all that I am, I didn't give it by myself. It was people praying for me. It was a mother before she died and prayed for me. It was a father before that leaves at Alzheimer's here that brought me here. It was a grandmother praying for me. And it's a community like you all that has sustained me. Because many days I had thought about, Lord, what did I ask for? But it's the kind words that you give me when I see you on the streets. It's your prayers when I don't even see you praying that has sustained me. Because I couldn't stand this without your prayer. I couldn't. We don't fight for this world. We fight for power. And it has to be a spiritual connection. Because anything that manifests in the physical has to take shape in the spiritual. And it's our prayer and our praise that manifests. I want you to know I love you all. I appreciate your inviting me here. I hope that we continue to pray for one another and love one another.
Amen. Friends, family, beloved ones, children of God, thank you for joining us today for our annual Day of Prayer Love Feast here at Christ Moravian Church. Thank you to our speaker, Sheriff Kimber, for your words and wisdom today. Shortly, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to have a choral benediction. So I'll say some brief words to close us out, and I'll ask that you remain seated and enjoy what our lovely music, talented musical folks have for us before we depart. So please remain seated, receive this benediction. Friends, may God bless you and keep you. May God make God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up God's countenance before you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus. Today.